Dr. Mark, how are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. Now then, I'm anxious to hear about this. Is it Zika or Zika? Is it Zika?
I think it's called Zika.
Zika. Okay, so we've been getting familiarized with it, but I think a lot of people think of it as the West Nile virus. And I was very alarmed when I first heard about it. I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And this virus is carried through mosquitoes, correct?
Correct. It's carried in the same way as other viral illnesses like dengue fever.
Uh-huh. Now,
you
let me...
You have to be bitten by a mosquito.
Yeah.
Generally be bitten by a mosquito to contract it.
Now, let me tell people, I did this before, but I want to say it now as an introduction. Dr. Mark Rabinowitz is a nationally recognized physician and noted healthcare authority. He's appeared on numerous television shows and talk shows, and he is the founder of Southampton-based Prevention First Healthcare. And that is a revolutionary practice. That's what you say, it's a revolutionary practice. It is. It focuses on patients' proactive wellness, no wait times, unbelievable. No wait times. Patients even have access to his personal cell phone. Now, I said before, Dr. Rabinowitz, that people can go online at 215prevent.com or they can call your office at 215prevent and they can have a consultation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, tell us a little bit about the virus. It's not like the West Nile virus, is it?
No, it's a virus. I mean, that's the only similarity.
Yeah, the only similarity.
So Zika virus was first identified back in the 1940s.
Really?
It's been known since the 1940s, where it was found in Uganda in a rhesus monkey, and then later, actually, it was 47, and then in 1948, it was identified in a mosquito, the Aedes mosquito. Apparently, there are very, very few cases of this ever reported. And then around 2007, they started to see cases mostly in Brazil, in what's called Micronesia, and in French Polynesia and in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was in Brazil, there was a big increase in the condition called microcephaly. So from October 2015 to January of 2016, there were almost 4,000 cases of babies born with microcephaly, which is a congenital condition where the child has a very small head and memory retardation, and other anomalies. And prior to this, there was only 150 cases.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became a big outbreak, and what happened was it then began spreading to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever seen a case like this?
No.
No.
No, I don't think, I mean, there's been very few cases reported in the United States. I actually heard something this morning, an update that I think in a hospital in Texas, they've been able to figure out a way. It takes about a week to identify if somebody has the virus.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's no treatment for this and there's no vaccine for it, but apparently they think with technology they may be able to work on this test so that if somebody thinks they have it, they can know within a day.
Oh. Well, what about the symptoms?
Well, the symptoms are like any other virus. Somebody may have a fever,
mm-hmm.
rash, joint pains, headache, red eyes or a conjunctivitis, muscle aches, and it can last up to a week. What's important is to realize if you have that symptoms and you're either in an area where it's endemic, which includes the Caribbean. I myself just got back from vacation in Aruba,
mm-hmm.
and the virus is definitely there.
No, it is.
As it is in Central America, really across the entire Caribbean, certainly Latin America. So if you've just traveled and you come back, then you really need to seek medical attention right away. The problem really comes in for pregnant women.
Yes.
Women that may be trying to get pregnant or not aware that they're pregnant. If they have those symptoms, they need to get to a physician right away because they can be tested for it. Again, there's no treatment, but they can certainly be tested. The other thing that people need to know is the virus is sexually transmitted through semen. So they have not identified women giving the disease to men, but they have identified men being able to pass the disease on to women.
Is that right? That's unusual. Now, West Nile virus is not like that.
I don't believe so, no.
No, how about that? Well, you know, I did read somewhere that the cold weather, of course, like we're safe in the Northeast, or at least we were when this thing first came out because of the mosquito population. But what about in the summer months?
Well, sure, anytime there's standing water, anytime we're in place with mosquitoes, you know, one of the recommendations is if someone's going to travel to an endemic area to buy mosquito repellent, which, by the way, is actually safe for women that are pregnant or breastfeeding. It has to be approved by the Department of Environmental Protection Agencies. Mm-hmm. It should say that on the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But people would need to either wear long-sleeve clothing, make sure that there's netting on the doors and screens, and like anything else, you want to try to avoid the mosquito.
You know what I was wondering? You know, there are other things like these greenhead flies and all that bite you, and I guess they do get into your blood. I wonder if any of those other things, insects, can transmit disease. We always talk about mosquitoes. Is there a difference?
I have a question for you, Pat.
Yeah.
Do you know what the most dangerous animal in the world is? What animal kills more people in the worldwide than any other? Not even close. It's a mosquito.
Well, that's what I was thinking before. Maybe it's a population control thing.
Maybe. But we sort of take it for granted. Now I have a mosquito bite, but you don't realize. To my knowledge, I don't think the greenhead flies, other than causing maybe a little skin reaction, but I don't think they transmit diseases to this degree. You have to remember, we're sort of isolated here in the United States. It's a big country, but if you go to other areas of the world, even Puerto Rico, where dengue fever is a serious mosquito-borne illness.
Oh. Well, wait, you know what I just thought of? The mosquito does another thing. The mosquito injects something into us to thin the blood. I think the mosquito's putting something into our body, whereas, like, the greenhead just bites.
Well, sure, but the mosquito actually then, you know, injects the virus into us.
But now, what about the pregnant woman thing? Supposing there is a woman that's pregnant, is it definite that it would affect the baby?
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
In other words, you're saying, what's the penetrance? In other words, if a pregnant woman is infected, will she 100% get that? I honestly don't know the answer. I think that there's more comes out, and apparently this is being, you know, the government's paying very close attention to this, and the CDC is investing a lot of time and energy to solve this problem. I think that'll become apparent.
What are they doing? Do you know?
Well, there's just research going on. They're trying to, I guess, isolate the people that have been infected, to study more about the virus and its transmission.
Yeah.
I assume they'll at some point try to come up with a vaccine for this.
Huh. That they would just give to childbearing women.
Yeah. Well, you know, once again, I think for the moment it's more of a problem in Brazil and Latin and Central America. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that Americans haven't been exposed to this. It's a virus that we're not used to seeing.
Right.
So in other words, it's always possible that somebody has been infected with it in another country, and then their body builds up an immunity. So if they were bitten again, they would not become ill with the disease.
You know, you mentioned before, like I said, well, what are the symptoms of it? The symptoms are they're like a lot of symptoms that we've all had, and we don't go to the doctor for them. See, this is the thing. You say, well, if you have these kind of symptoms and you've been around mosquitoes, you better run to the doctor. I've had scores of viruses that I say, oh, I have a virus. I have a 24-hour virus. And I've been sick as a dog for like one full day with a fever. I'm sure other people, a fever, your aches and pains, and blah, blah, blah. And then you're better. Now, I wouldn't even think of going to the doctor.
Well, here's what's different. It's probably been the same way with people infected with this. But now that there is this serious birth defect that occurs in women that are pregnant, now there's a warning. Now people are saying, well, okay, maybe I'm traveling to the Caribbean for my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But I better be very cautious after I apply my suntan lotion, put on insect repellent, or make sure I'm avoiding standing water or places where there's insects. Look, lots of people like to camp. People are adventurous.
Right.
They can take precautions. The CDC, I believe, is recommending a pregnant woman not travel to endemic areas. until this can be, until they can get a better handle on it. So there's the avoidance, just not going to places that where the virus is rampant in any event to start.
Mm-hmm.
So the knowledge is important. And also, if a woman is pregnant and has traveled to one of these areas and comes down with those symptoms of fever, chills, red eyes, joint aches, muscle aches, they should seek medical attention. They shouldn't just say, well, maybe it's, I have a cold or something simple. They should begin to take it more seriously.
Well, what are these things, since we're talking about viruses, and we'll get back to the Zika, but what are these viruses that people get all the time? That we just say it. We don't even know. We haven't had them tested
or
anything.
Well, the viruses that we commonly get are respiratory viruses, respiratory syncytial virus. Right now, I just before I went on the air, I just diagnosed a case of influenza A. We have tests in the office that do that rapidly.
Really?
This time of year, it's very common. We're starting to see more flu. It's a little bit later this year. There are people that will get what's called a stomach virus, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, and that's usually caused by what's called a Norwalk or norovirus, or what people associate with being on cruise ships, or a rotavirus, which can affect children. And sometimes people get sick enough where we have to put them in the hospital because they can't keep up with their fluids, and you have to give them an intravenous. And we test everything, their blood, their stool, and Pat, it's a little frustrating because you don't always come up with an answer, and I'm always honest and explain to the patient that we've tested you for everything that a lab can test for, and yes, you're ill, but we may not come up with an exact cause. And that's just unfortunately the art of medicine, not the science portion.
You know, that's interesting what you said. You have a test for influenza A. I don't think a lot of doctors do that.
I think you'd be surprised. I think many primary care offices do it. One way of treating that is if a patient calls with typical symptoms where you're well 1 minute and within, seconds, every muscle in your body aches and your joints ache and you have a headache and you have a cough and a fever and you feel like a truck ran you over, you probably have the flu. Even if you did have a flu shot, nothing is 100%. You can make an argument for empirically treating somebody with, it's called Tamiflu, and then also treating their close contacts in the house prophylactically. What people don't realize is there's I think 200,000 hospitalizations every year from influenza, 30,000 deaths. But since we have the ability to test for it, I know exactly what I'm treating, and I also know what complications to look for.
That's interesting. Now, okay, so I want to get back to this virus thing, and then as we wind up here, is there anything we need to know in the future, the average person, pregnant women, non-pregnant women, what do we, and men, what do we need to know right now going forward, now that we're coming into warm weather?
Excellent question. So going forward, the Zika virus is endemic to Latin America, to the Caribbean. It's been in Texas. It's been in several areas of the United States that if someone is traveling to those areas to get insect repellent, and to apply it after their suntan lotion to avoid standing water or places where there's mosquitoes, and to be aware that if they develop a fever, rash, joint aches, muscle aches, red eyes, and they've traveled to one of these areas, they should notify their physician right away. If a woman is pregnant, then she should absolutely notify the obstetrician and have laboratory studies done to see if she's in fact carrying the virus or has been infected.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your office now. If we want to know more, we can come in for a free consultation, correct?
Yes. What I do is there are people that are interested in personalized preventative health care to have a doctor that spends an hour and a half and sometimes 2 hours with you on how can I keep you healthy, prevent you from getting sick, and things change in medicine. Thinking changes, influences by government and different organizations change, and people need an advocate. They need somebody who is knowledgeable, will spend the time, not rush them out the door, and we provide that care throughout the entire year, not just once, not just one visit.
You know what I like that you told us before? If you have a patient and they need to go to a cardiologist or a specialist of any kind, what happens with your office?
Well, what I do is, it depends on the acuity.
Yeah.
Generally I do the workup, and then if I feel that patient needs other care, I confer with the specialist before the patient actually arrives,
mm-hmm.
because this way I can order any additional tests that the specialist may want. We have mm-hmm. a discussion, and what it does, it saves the doctor and the specialist a lot of time and the patient time, because often what happens in people that have go to a busy practice, they may only get a 7 or 10 minute visit, and people mm-hmm. go to the specialist. Now they walk into the specialist's office after waiting weeks or months, only to be told, well, why are you here? Well, I don't know why I'm here. My doctor sent me. So now the specialist has to spend all this time trying to figure out what's wrong with the patient.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes they can't figure it out, so they have to order more tests. And it's just a delay in diagnosis. If two doctors speak, we share a lot of information very, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
And can identify what's probably going on and what needs to be done. And you get to a faster resolution of a problem.
How do other physicians feel about your kind of practice, your type of practice?
Well, they love it. I mean, if you knew how many other physicians I take care of, and dentists, and their families, and hospital administrators, because everybody wants to be loved, Pat. People want to be treated with love, with respect,
mm-hmm.
with someone that's there to listen to them,
mm-hmm.
because unfortunately, as the practice of medicine changes, doctors really are not in practice for themselves, and they have an employer, and that employer says you have to flip that room every 7 to 10 minutes. And you have an administrator, and you're working for someone. You're not really working for the patient anymore. You're working for someone else. And when that happens, not that I'm saying care isn't good care, it's just different care. And there are people that say, well, wait a minute, I need a lot of help with my weight, and I need a lot of help managing my other health problems, and
mm-hmm.
I need a lot of guidance in other areas. And that's a patient that, wants what we have to offer.
Well, I think it's terrific. And I thank you so much about the Zika virus. And we'll be talking about you behind your back now when you're gone.
That's okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Rabinowitz.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.